We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We hope you're having a great day. We certainly are up here at Flowery Branch. We talked to our quarterback today, Kirk Cousins, who you'll hear in just a little bit. Also, Coach Ross stopped by as we get ready for the Cowboys. And, Mike, I said four L's. It's four of the last six that they've lost. I guess I misspoke. Either way, the Cowboys come in here reeling. They're beat up. They got beat last week by a 49er team when they had a chance to potentially win the game with Dak at the end. They couldn't do it. They have a lot of things going on right now, and I don't want this to be a get-right week for the Cowboys. And Kirk Cousins was like, look, they're going to come in here desperate because they're trying to right their ship. We are in a good spot, guys. We are in control of our division. We have to now continue to stack wins in this in the NFC, because that may come back to bite us, Mike, when you start talking about like opponents and playoff positioning. You know, whether it was the Eagles, the game we won, or it's the Cowboys, we know that these games still matter. But today, Coach was talking about one thing that we've been discussing, and that is this pass rush. And Coach Ross said, guys, when we asked him about Matthew Judon specifically, he said, look, we brought him in here. We want him to get to the quarterback. Is he doing things outside of that we really like? The answer is yes. But he didn't make any bones about it, Mike. I don't think they're going to go do anything at the trade deadline.
No, I mean, he keeps – and every time I ask about Ebikadi is close and, you know, not getting there. We talk about sacks, and as we went yesterday, deep dive, guys. We're not saying they got to lead the leagues in sacks. No, we're not saying you got to be in the middle of the pack. We just got to be able to affect the quarterback better than we're doing, because once you get deeper in the season and we play better quarterbacks, and Baker's pretty darn good. He's leading the league in touchdowns going into that game on Sunday. But then you can't give him 50 unmolested throws, which is in essence what you did. So they got to tighten it up. There's only there's a finite amount of edge rushers / outside linebackers that you could trade for anyway, and I don't know how much better they would be than what you got.
Yeah, I agree. And this is,
I mean, I want them to do something, but I just don't know the values there.
I don't either. I mean, if you're talking about a sixth round or something like that, that's different. If you're going to give up premium picks for a rotational guy, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. The Judon situation is simple. Step up. We said it this week. We're challenging him. I'm challenging him to be better. Go get some sacks this week. This Cowboy offensive line, as good as it seems on paper, Mike, has not been good. They can't run the football, and they certainly haven't protected Dak Prescott as well as everybody thought they would. So I feel like this might be a week where you can get a – and I know we said that going into last week, and I said I wanted Baker to throw the ball because I felt like it was going to play to our benefit. Guess what? It did. We got two picks, right? We got points off of those turnovers. But this is a different situation where I feel like the Cowboys reeling. They're trying to figure it out. Judon and company, we got to get to the quarterback, man. We got to get it one and a half sacks, two, to make us feel a little bit better heading into the rest of the season. 404-726-0929. By the way, we're up here live at Flowery Branch. This hour is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's Wednesday, guys. You can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go and pick it up on your way home or for your next event.
Yeah, man, the defense, we all know that Grady's coming off an injury. And next time we'll ask him about Grady's effectiveness. I mean, we know he's a leader on this team. But, you know, the interior line, the younger guys, we've talked about maybe more Brandon Dorless. There's only so many guys on your roster. It's a 53-man roster. That's the beef plus your practice squad. So we've already covered the guys that are here. Got to get there, man. But Judon, Coach, as you said, was not going to back off or try to make excuses about it. The corners are amazing. You know, A.J. Terrell's having his best year. He's validating the contract. You'll hear Coach talk about him as well. We already know what we've got, certainly with Jesse Bates. Simmons, by the way, still nursing that hamstring on the injury report. Drew Dahlman, though, was back in practice, so he may get your starting center to start the season back. But this team has got to find a way. So maybe we blitz more. Maybe Jimmy Lake starts to tweak the approach. Or do you say, you know what? It still works for us. This bend don't break. Fans hate it. You know, we talk about the cover three, cover two, whatever our version is.
Yeah.
Drives fans crazy. And if, look, one thing, say what you want about Dak, and he's been a turnover machine. But if, like any other quarterback, you give him some time back there, 5 seconds, he's going to find somebody.
No, he is. And, Mike, look, for all the conversation about Grady, Grady's fine, man. Grady's got 1.5 sacks. He's one of the guys that has shown up. But you're only talking about, you know, Onyemata having one, Judon 1.5. These are the guys. But Grady, man, he's playing his position well. But I never have counted on Grady to get me 7 or 8 sacks.
He's usually about a 5, 5.5 kind of guy.
It's bonus when those interior guys are able to get to the quarterback. That's not what we're paying him for. And so I say all that to say there are other guys who are getting paid to get there, and that's not happening. 404-726-0929. Hey, man, as we're live up here, one thing we did hear Kirk Cousins say today, and he gave a lot of props and you know, to his coaches and players that he's played with, because I asked him about his consistency. Guys, he's on pace to do exactly what we thought. 4,000 yards, 35 touchdowns. And it may be a little bit more depending on how the season plays out. But this is where he's lived literally since 2015. And I didn't even bring up last year because of the injury, but we said this.
He's on pace for even better.
Oh, he had 18 touchdowns. He was leading the league in this category last year before the injury. So I said to him about, you know, consistency, and he was like, I got to give a lot of props to, you know, the teams and the coaches I've been at. But, Mike, there's something to be said about the player himself.
Look,
you've been different places, but yet you've been the same dude.
He's that guy. I mean, the only thing missing, you guys know, is just the playoff success. But we've already, you know, we've drawn the parallels, the corollaries with Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan here in Atlanta. And hopefully this is one, and you'll hear that interview, guys. If you hear more about this guy and you hear him speak, I don't know. If you don't love this guy as your quarterback, you think you got a lump of coal in your heart, because this dude is such a rootable guy. And we'll get into some of the anecdotal stuff from leadership, talking to the team. You asked him the question about what exactly did you say, how comfortable are you in that role, and everything that he brings. We've had 2 years of guys, you know, Mariota had to put a mirror under his nose to see if he was breathing, and certainly in the case of Ritter, it just, he wasn't ready for the job. He's trying to keep his head above water.
Yeah, he didn't want to say anything wrong, and they didn't give him a chance to, right? And then Mariota was not established enough anywhere.
At that point, he's a journeyman by the time.
Did you say bum?
Yes.
He wasn't established enough to be that guy where you felt like he was going to be the voice of reason and speak out on things. He was just kind of here to maintain. And so, to your point, it feels good to know we've got a guy that is willing to take on that role and do all of that. Hey, as we talk about what else is going on, we're going to go around college football. There is something that's going on that we do need to acknowledge. We'll also talk about what Billy Napier at Florida had to say. The Georgia-Florida game is moving in 27-28. We'll tell you more about that. But, Mike, real quick, Yankees back in the World Series. You said we hadn't been paying a whole lot of attention, but we're paying attention to our man Freddie Freeman, who continues to ball out.
Man, now six World Series games in a row with a home run. He hits the shot to right in the first inning. The Yankees did finally find some offense, so they're going to force a game five, but no one's ever come back in the World Series from being three games down. But Freddie, I know we spent some time on it yesterday. It's not a knock. It just is what it is. I think Freddie maybe need to have a little more connection with his agent when the negotiations went down. Joked around with Carl. It just seems like every time we get into a Freddie conversation, everybody in Atlanta is a tax expert on California tax law, how much money he would have saved by staying here in Atlanta. Either way, maybe felt a little insulted. You know, I mean, I see both sides of it. I mean, is this a player where Anthopoulos has got to say, look, I mean, Matt Olson can come in here. Matt Olson's a career 250 hitter. Freddie's going to the Hall of Fame. And Freddie's clutch. And we have been in dire need of clutch core all these last 3 years.
Yeah, he's a different level player, man. I mean, I think the Dodgers win the series. Sorry, Chris. And when they do, Freddie's going to collect an MVP trophy. And he's going to add it to all of the accolades that he already has. He already has the respect. He is liked by the media. These things matter when you start talking about where this goes with him and how quickly it happens once his career is over. And so, yes, he's going to the Hall. But his level is next level, meaning they're a really good first baseman. That's where Olson is. And then there are great first basemen. That's where Freddie is.
Right.
And in this moment, he's showing you why. The other thing that happened last night is Judge finally got an RBI, which may have sparked him.
Right.
We'll see. He's been absent this entire series. But other guys, you know, we're getting hits, whether it was Wells or company. It was good to see because I just didn't want to sweep. But at the end of the day, man, I think this whole Freddie thing is worth looking at. And I said this before Kirk Cousins came in. We were talking about this. You know, if they win the World Series, and I think they do, then you start talking about, okay, well, Freddie, you're putting the A on in the Hall of Fame. What you doing?
I think he still goes with the A. I mean, Greg Maddux is kind of a unique individual, but I would think that he went back to his Cubs legacy and said, I'll just go neutral on this one. I would think Freddie's connection with the A, with the Braves, or no, maybe plays a few more years with the A.
This is history, though, Mike.
Well, again, this is a guy, and as you said, we looked at the numbers. There's also the leadership thing, and I know that we used to joke around that him and Acuna and some of the guys, maybe they didn't laugh at the same jokes, but, you know.
Oh, you mean the eye black?
There's somebody, he was somebody in that locker room that was a sheriff in that clubhouse. And that guy doesn't exist on this Braves team, okay? Let's keep it real. You're leaned on guys like Ron Washington, and, you know, those guys aren't on that squad. And real quick, Yankees, by the way, going with Garrett Cole, the debate was you put him in there in short rest because it's a must-win. That works out for Boone. And then on the flip side, the Dodgers say we're not going to commit our best closers. They kind of saw the game getting away from them, so they'll have the option for that tonight.
Yeah, Cole has the ability to shut him down.
Right.
Like, if anybody, he has the ability to shut him down. 12 runs, most runs for the Yankees in a World Series game since, what, 1978?
Right. Volpe was a stud last night. Yep.
11 runs last night. They scored 12 and 78 in Game 5 against the Dodgers. So you got to go back a ways before seeing the run, you know, output that they put together last night.
Right.
Hey, man, coming up, Coach Ra. What does he have to say about the win against Tampa? Mike asked him about Kyle Pitts. We asked him about Matthew Judon and much more. Stay there. You'll hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
So I'm at the Bucs game, right? And we get that turnover on the first drive, you know, we're driving the football.
Yeah.
And it's fourth down and three. And I got these two jabronis sitting behind me going, they're just trying to get them off sides. And I turn around and I go, my coach is going for it.
Oh, you knew he was going for it.
I said I knew he's going for it there.
I'm going to tell you, I did not know he was going for it. I'm like, Rob, what are we doing? Rob, I'm so glad you went for that. Kyle Pitts, I love you, man. Coach Raheem Morris joining us right now here on Dukes and Bell. What's going on, Coach?
Going great. I love to hear you guys talk about stuff I'm not here.
It's the truth. That's right. That's what happened. Monday we were talking about it. He's at the game arguing with fans. We're going for it. I'm at home like, Rob, what are we doing? We don't go for it. Oh, thank God we went for it. So, right. In those moments, you said this to us. We're going to be aggressive. That was a fourth and three. That was a big spot for us, Coach.
Was it fourth and three?
Fourth and
– I got a good shot of you right there.
Fourth and three.
We, you know, like I said, I talked about it a little bit last time, but, like, you got to give enough credit to the people around you when those things are happening. Those decisions are made, obviously. I make the decision. I get the blame. I get the credit, whatever that is. But those decisions are definitely made behind the scenes. You know, like I mentioned before, Tim Berbanek does such a great job of giving you your options. Mm-hmm. Zach Robinson does a great job of always being ready. You know, Jimmy Lake does a great job of always being ready. Special team wise do a great job of always being ready because you just never know where you're going to be. So in those situations, you're talking about all your decision makers being locked and loaded and ready to go to either go score, to either have to defend like it's a turnover, or to be ready to transition to whatever you want to do if you do something special teams wise. So, like, I think those decisions are all made behind the scenes with us, and like, we've had a really good success rate as far as our operation, whether we've got it or not. I really like what we've been doing.
We were talking a lot about the approach, and it seems like, did you guys take Bucky Irving away, or they take Bucky Irving away? Either way, the run game disappeared, and you guys got after it.
You know, I think Bucky came out hot, and he made a beat. You know, it wasn't like there were holes that he was just running through unblocked. You know, he made some people miss.
Right.
And he came out, and he was really moving. He was doing some really good things, and, like, they started off, I think, in that first half, maybe 62 yards rushing. One big play in that, or two, maybe two. But he was able to do some really good things. Our guys settled down and was able to stop the run to get him up out of there. But I was really proud of how they responded, because those things can go terrible if you let them. But he did a nice job of responding, and they did a nice job of coming back and stopping them and shutting them down. So our offense can do enough to win the game for us on offense.
We're talking with Coach Raheem Morris, guys. Our Falcons take on the Cowboys on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, I came in Monday. There's so many good things that are going on with our football team. But I said, I want to know your opinions of where you're at with Matthew Judon. You may be seeing something completely different on film and what we're getting as far as the ultimate results, which for fans, it's sacks. But I'm saying, Judon, step up. I'm challenging him, and I'm telling the fan base, like, I don't know if we're getting as much as we thought we would out of him. Coach, tell me where we're at with him.
You know, sometimes this thing takes time, and he's not playing to his standard. He's not playing to the standard that we expect them. He knows that. Like, it's not anything that we hide behind. It's nothing that you protect the guy on. But, like, hey, he's doing some really good things outside of the sack area, but we wanted the sack area from him, and he knows that, and it's no secret about that. You don't want him to press. You do want it to come to him a little bit. You do want him to keep getting better and better, but we got to see the results start to happen at some point, and we're waiting for that. And I got a lot of confidence they will happen. You know, we're practicing too well. We're doing a lot of things too well from the classroom standpoint for it not to happen for us and for not to happen for him. And if you do the right things over a consistent time basis, it's got to go right for you. You know, I remember we've got Von Miller, and the first 6 weeks we had him, it wasn't so great. And then all of a sudden, playoff Vaughn kicked in, and it turned into a whole different deal.
With the Rams.
And he looked like one of the best players that was on our team, or was the best player possibly in that playoff run. So, like, it's going to kick in for him, and he's got to stay at it, and he's got to keep working. So that's just his job. You know, like, you have tough times in this league. I'm sure you had games where you went with a minimum amount of receptions or none or some.
Yeah.
But you got to keep grinding and stay with the process. I'm sure you had those talks when you go sit in your coach's office and you try to figure out what's going on, what you want to do better, what do you need to change in your process. And that's all the stuff that you go through when you're talking about a season. And I think the thing about coaching is it's not shaming. It's getting those guys in the room, figuring out what's going wrong, finding a way to make it better, getting them on a practice field, working at those things, making it consistent, finding a way to make it come to life on Sundays. And I believe that's going to happen for them.
When he was D'ing up Rashad White on that wheel route, I was like, oh, no, but he made a play.
So, I mean, those are some of the things you don't necessarily notice when you don't get sacks. But he's doing a lot of good things for us. But make no mistakes about it. I don't want to sit here and make excuses for him, nor like I do I want you guys to.
Right.
He is expected to sack the quarterback. He is expected to cause disruption to the quarterback. Now, that was a great coverage on a really good back.
let's get him
to make some plays in the ball.
Coach Roz with us, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. I know we've asked you about specific players on the defensive rotation. Last year, we thought Ebba Cady kind of turned a corner. He had six sacks. Is it what Jimmy Lake's asking him to do? Is it a different system? Because we thought he'd be a guy that would kind of take that and evolve this season.
He's actually rushing the best. He just hadn't had the actual results that you want to have. You know, him and Caden Ellis probably got the best production from a hurry standpoint. You know, for whatever reason, our whole team has just not been able to hit the quarterback. But AK is one of the guys that's rushing the right way, doing a lot of things, getting encouraged to play some inside moves, getting encouraged to take the edge, use the speed, do some of those things. We're trying to rep those guys where they're getting – so there's always a freshness involved in that. And I believe that's going to come around for him too. But I think the whole group is going to come to life. So, like, everything I just said about Judon is going to be repetitive for what the group is going to be able to do and what they're able to do. Like, now, there's always going to be situations where guys just not playing well enough, yada, yada, yada. But AK, I think his production is going to start to come in pretty quickly.
You have an amazing background as a secondary guy. What the hell makes Jesse so good? Because he's – coach, every week – he's doing that punching the ball out, that's so instinctual. Mike and I were talking about this earlier in the week, where it's one thing to attack a guy and want to make a tackle, right? I got to get this guy down. It's another thing. You see him running up and going, I'm about to punch this out. And he's literally loading up, and I'm going, and I'll be damned, he knocks the ball out. He got another fumble recovery. Jesse's doing it every week. Why?
So the funniest thing about him, I'll give you a story before I even answer the question about Jesse, but I'm literally – we played the Bucks a couple weeks ago at our home Thursday night game, and then we played them again just recently last week, yada, 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 and I've been able to sit around Rondae Barber in both those games, right? So Rondae came to visit us on the Thursday night game, and he's saying, this Jesse guy is amazing. And he says he has no regard for his body when he's going after the ball, and he said, that's what separates him from me. He said, I have ball skills. He said, Jesse has no regard of his body or potentially missing a tackle in order to get the ball. He just hits the ball more than most, and he says he knocks it out with a certain intent that is just unbelievable. And I thought, that is well said about Jesse, and like, he is obsessed about it. And when he approaches every single tackle, you can just see it, that he's going to look for this ball that he knocked out in the second play of the game or the third play of the game, whatever it was. That thing was tucked in there pretty good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, for him to be able to knock that out and also recover it, and him to get up and really be one of the only two people in the stadium to know was even a fumble.
Right.
But to have the wherewithal to recover it,
yeah,
and then to get up and make the officials second guess themselves, right, that's special.
And then, of course, the pick where he steals the ball on the flea flicker. The other thing is, because I was sitting four rows back, it's the first time I got to see the guys up close, because I'm all the way up top at Mercedes, is when A.J. Terrell makes that amazing diving interception. And to see the reaction, all the way the defensive players came around, it was, everybody was so hyped for him in that moment.
I mean, just what a great awareness by A.J., right? That's not his man. He falls off. We're a little behind, and a flat player getting beat, turned up field was Richie Grant. He falls off. His buddy comes over the top, makes a great play, diving interception and pick it off. And those are the things that you expect from A.J., right? So, like, when A.J. was growing up and he can touch the ball, he can really go up there, compete and play really hard, we all wanted the interceptions. Y'all wanted that type of production, and now he's giving it to us, right? He gets his big contract. Usually people take the foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. Not AJ, right? He continues to work. He continues to grow. He continues to get better. He continues to accept the challenges of the best receivers in the world every single week, and he's got another one coming here this week.
Coach's interview brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center here at Flowery Branch. Here on Dukes and Bell, I know Kurt, I correct me if I'm wrong, came to you and said, I want to speak to the team last week. How do you make those decisions when guys want to address the team? Because timing is everything. Sometimes you're like, maybe it's not the right week, maybe it's not the right time. And then you allowed it to happen, and hearing from other guys on the team, even Jesse Bates was talking about how guys responded to it.
So it's so awesome because Kurt, you know, has contacted me twice about speaking to the team. And both times, it's always – yes, that's my quarterback, right? You brought him here for these leadership moments, and you wanted to be a player-led team, so you can't wait for him to get up there and talk to him. A lot of people don't want to get in that spotlight. But when he asks for it, it's got meaningful purpose behind it, and you know it's going to be very intentful in what he's saying and what he's thinking about. And when he comes to you and he puts together his slideshow or whatever he needs for this presentation, you kind of sit at the edge of your seat because you want to know what's going on, because you want to get into his head a little bit that way. And unfortunately, this time, I was a part of the voice notes. He sent me one of those voice notes. And I got the voice note, and I had to listen to it, and it cut off. So he resent it, so I had to listen to it all over again. And I got it, and I called him. I'm like, yes, you know, for sure, let's do this. And we had a plan, and we did it on a Friday. I do a big meeting on Thursday. I skipped the meeting that we normally have on a Friday so we can put him in the forefront, let him lead. You know, everybody said he want to play a Latin until a player asks. And then a player asks and does it exactly how you would love for him to do. And it's something that's special that's going on with this team and this unit.
Coach Roz with us. Kirk, after one of the series, talking to everybody in the offensive line, almost like a coach working his way back and forth. Speaking of coaching, we're not asking you any questions about Kyle Pitts because he's contributing, and again, to see him in the red zone and those touchdowns. But obviously a teaching moment with the ball at the goal line, and what did you say to him?
Lucky moment. Right, a lucky moment for us. You know, like that is if you got to learn a lesson, learn it like that. Right, let's learn a lesson that way, because we know what these lessons look like in NFL. We saw it in Washington. You know, we almost saw it in our game when those lessons are hard earned lessons, and those are tough things you do because of mental lapses at that point and what's going on in your life. Right, and then the number one thing we've been since the season started is finishers. Right, whether we've lost the game or we've won the game, we've been finishers. And like, that's all a part of finishing, right? It's the mentality of finishing everything we do at the highest level. And like, you could put it in different words that I might have said to him on game day, but the ultimate lesson was that Kyle needs to finish because of how capable he is. He has those balls in his hands like that, and it's not gonna be the last time he's like that, right? He's shown us some stuff in the last couple of weeks that are special, and we got to just find ways to get him in those areas so he can make those things happen.
Coach, let's talk about Dallas. It's a big one for us on Sunday. I was talking to guys there today, and listen, the Cowboys, you know, all the fans there in Dallas, everybody's looking at us and they're going, are they really good? What's the deal with the Falcons? And I think for them, you know, I said to our listeners, they're coming in here desperate, right? They've lost four in a row. They're feeling some kind of way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the injury situation is going to be, but it doesn't matter. Do you look at them similar to how, you know, this was just a few weeks ago with Seattle? Like, this, we just have huge momentum right now coming off of this division win. Coming into Sunday, I said, we can't be flat again. We got to come in with some urgency and some energy.
I don't. That's what the growth mindset is all about, right? You have those losses versus Seattle, and you better take those things and learn those lessons. I think I said a couple weeks ago, every loss you've ever had, you get a lesson from. And we better take that lesson from Seattle and apply it to this week, right? Come out ready to go, fired up, not holding it. You can get humbled in this league really quick.
Sure.
Right. And
sure.
And we all know that. Like, and this is Dallas Cowboys with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and guys that play at a high level all the time. And if you think any otherwise, you're fooling yourself.
Everything good with Chris Lindstrom? I know he could have gone back in. You said it was
so
keep you out.
Chris, you know, just to know, Chris was clear to go back in. Obviously, coach's decision to hold him back with the game where it was. And we got some good depth. Let's just say that. And I got a lot of confidence in our guys.
Hitting was solid. Right.
So today we were able to get him out there into his role that he actually had in practice and do those things in the walkthrough and then figure out what he's going to do there. And then we expect to ease him back into the program to get to the fold to hopefully make those decisions on Sunday.
Do you have a special outfit like you go through on Sundays where you're looking at what you're going to put on? Like the hat? Which hat? No, I'm going to go with the red, not the white. I mean, do you go through a process?
Does Bassey lay it out for you?
Let me tell you something. There is no chance I'm letting Bassey pick out an outfit for me. He's going through a midlife crisis, guys, and he dresses way below his age.
He does.
So I am not letting him pick it out.
He does.
You know, So not on home games. There's no real thought process.
No, you just grab whatever.
Right. You just grab something to go and go to work. Definitely on away games. I'm a suit guy on away games.
Yeah,
so like to put those things together.
Pretty tight suit you had on.
I mean, you know, I try to keep it clean.
You look good. You look good. You gotta look the part.
Right.
And he's doing that, guys. Let's hopefully we look the part on Sunday. Coach Raheem Morris, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Coach Raw joining us here live at Flowery Branch, guys. That was earlier today. Good stuff from him. Cowboys have lost four of the last six. Two-game losing streak coming into Sunday. And the thing for us, again, is we didn't get caught up with, you know, Tampa and what the circumstances were with the injuries. Mike, we can't get caught up with how the Cowboys have looked these last few weeks either. Go out and handle business, and I can't wait to see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, man, and this is one that, you know, it's just extra sauce with the Cowboys for the obvious reasons, and hopefully we'll be sending those fans home with their Yankee hat and Lakers shoes with a tear in their beard.
That's a great way to put it. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about the road to the college football playoff. They've turned things around, and how have they done it? Also, Billy Napier commenting on Georgia, and you'll hear from Kirby Smart as well. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about the road to the college football playoff, Mike, for the Dogs. It continues this weekend against Florida. And, guys, we're up here live at Flowery Branch in the Ticketmaster Studios. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Can't stop in. Order Buffalo Wild Wings. Go pick it up on your way home or for your next event. I want you to hear Kirby, and then, you know, we're going to talk about this because Kirby was asked this week about Carson Beck taking ownership for his play, meaning, hey, the mistakes he's making, can he play better? And Kirby said this about Carson Beck.
Well, I think he's going to own that regardless. You know, if you ask a kid that, they're going to say that. He does need to play better. We need to coach better. We need to execute better. We need the people around him to play better. That's the ownership that a quarterback takes. And I wouldn't expect him to answer any questions like that any other way.
Does he need to be Superman Saturday, Mike? No, he needs to play clean.
No, Mike Bobo, run the ball, man. I mean, I'll keep saying it. You got a great weapon in Trevor Etienne, you know, and I know that Georgia doesn't have some of the depth you want. You don't want to run him into the ground at running back, but just run the ball, set up the play action, and then let's go to work. I just think sometimes it can't be that simple. Florida traditionally, and even with Billy Napier, they're good in the trenches. It's a rivalry game. So we know we've only been really seen some crazy results like once under Kirby. But, I just run the damn ball. I just think Beck, does he put too much pressure on himself? He's talked about it, the pressure, how he handles it. There have been slow starts. We asked that poll question. I put it up there at Dukesville 929 is, you know, do you trust Carson Beck? And it's funny. It's Carl literally run 50-50 all day long. And it's generally right now just slightly above on the no side amongst our audience just because, you know, he's just a guy that he's got the skills. We know he can throw it a mile. He can zip it into tight windows.
Yeah.
He's going to make better decisions.
Yeah, I think if he plays clean and they do run the ball, he's going to be fine. They'll be fine. Florida's three losses, guys, have come to ranked teams. It's not like this schedule's been a slouch. We pointed this out earlier. They have the toughest schedule in college football. So their losses come to three teams that have a combined record of 21-2 right now. Miami, Tennessee, Texas A&M. That's who they've lost to. So, you know, they the Dogs obviously coming off the win against Texas, and we know how well they played in that game. Can they duplicate that, Mike, and play as well as they did there? If they do, this is going to be another route. If they play, the defense especially,
right.
If they play as well as they did against Texas, this is going to be a route. But, you know, Billy Napier talking about offensively, it starts with Carson Beck and, you know, the veteran offensive line. He's being very complimentary of the Dogs, and he says, I do think defensively they have an identity now at this point in the season. That's interesting because I don't know if we would have said that week three or four, into this. And now after the Texas game, you feel like, okay, they came into their own. And he also mentioned the kicking game, Mike, saying they got a good kicker, punter, snapper. Like, they do a good job in the kicking game, talking about Georgia, and you can get beat there as well.
Right. They're fundamentally sound there because Kirby's team is elite. DJ Lagway in now, as you know, Graham Mertz is done for the season.
It's pretty good.
And, you know, he didn't throw it all. They didn't ask him to throw it that often. Didn't get a touchdown, but in the last game, but he's still, you know, he's got the mobility, so that's something to keep an eye on.
He had four explosive plays of more than 25 yards.
That's the concern.
He threw the ball. You're right. I think he threw it 14 times, but he had like four of the seven.
Took over 250 yards on a few throws.
Yeah. So that is the – Mike, talk about explosive plays, and I'm sure Kirby's preaching that this week about, you know, not giving up those big plays. But that was the key to Florida last week.
You know, and you look at the Georgia team, and we talked about, you know, guys being healthy and stepping up. Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams. And when they are healthy, then all those questions you and I ask week after week about where's the elite defense? Well, it sure looked elite in Austin. And every time Carson Beck, you know – look, not all on Carson Beck, as we said. There were some drops early that would have been some huge momentum, might even have been a bigger score. But anytime there was a turnover, Georgia got the ball right back.
All right, one other thing we want to mention, and this has nothing to do with Georgia-Florida. It's just a story we've been following. And a lot of times, Mike, we don't follow up on things that we talk about, and I think most people don't. You just dive in and you say, oh, he's an idiot, it's going bad. Guys, Colorado is 6-2. They have a chance to win the Big 12. And I just want to put this in perspective because last year we were talking about year one, Coach Prime era.
He beat TCU. We all went bananas. And then obviously they struggled afterwards. And the media that just doesn't like Deion had the knives out, and they were just ready to just go after him.
They allowed 40 points or more in five games. They gave up 6.3 yards a play. The defense was bad. These are just numbers that were out there talking about last year. Mike, this year it's a completely different story. And say what you want, but you got to give Prime and that coaching staff credit. Yes, we know he has his son in Shedeur Sanders, who I think is a top five pick. Hunter's the best player in college football. But you talk about putting a team together around those two guys. It looks like if they are able to win these next few games, Mike, they are going to be in the hunt for the Big 12 championship. They're already bowl eligible.
Right.
That's a win. In year two, he took over the worst program in college football.
That's it. And, you know, it's funny because Florida State fans are going like, everyone was like, I was like, well, let me see him do something here at Colorado. The way Norvell has completely overplayed his hand with the transfer portal, the problem is FSU has got no money to buy Norvell out. They're screwed. You know how many FSU fans talk to me every day about going get Deion? I mean, it's like it would be the ultimate prodigal son returns. Unfortunately, I just don't think they got the wherewithal to make it happen. Deion might go pound sand. You could have had me a couple years ago.
Could, yeah.
You know. But the other thing, it's funny. They're just looking for almost anything now to get under Deion's fingernail. This one was the craziest of late. The Freedom From Religion Foundation.
What happened?
Apparently upset because Colorado's a, you know, state school and all that, I guess. That he's got a pastor that's in the locker room. Every college team has a pastor in the library. NFL team has got one. But it just seems like just something else because Deion's got a faith-based thing going, just like Bobby Bowden, just like Mark Richt.
Sure.
That's how business gets done.
Sure.
And faith is big in high school and the college game. I always get a kick out of this when people who know nothing about football, you know, you start to be like a muckraker. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into.
It's a great point. So Deion saying, I'm not coming off of that, right?
No, basically. Of course not.
Yeah, and nor should he. Texas Tech, they already beat Cincinnati. Utah at Kansas, Oklahoma State.
Can win all those games.
Do not be surprised if Colorado has two L's at the end of the season. And, Mike, if you win the Big 12, guess what happens? You're in the college football playoff. That would be an unbelievable story.
The toughest game they had, and I think they're still, if they play Nebraska now, they beat them. But they had some guys banged up in that Nebraska game.
They did.
So I'm not trying to make excuses for Pratt.
Well, listen.
But I still think that they're a better team.
Yeah, 28-10 now doesn't look as bad when Nebraska got steamrolled.
Right.
You talk about these last few weeks, Nebraska hasn't looked like jack. So all this conversation about Nebraska being back, and what was the kid that was at Buford that left, that was at Georgia?
Dylan
Raiola?
Yep.
Come on, Mike.
Now, they did give Ohio State a fight, and Ohio State is supposed to be like leagues above Nebraska. See, I don't know if that's,
I don't think they're that good.
I don't know if that's about Nebraska being better or the fact that Ohio State's quarterback and their offense just don't work great.
The week before, Indiana beat them 56-7.
Right. I mean, Indiana, that's
you're telling me Indiana's that much better than Ohio State this year?
Right. That's where it's interesting. And by the way, Clint Cignetti, that's the one thing for some Florida. I was joking with Carl earlier about them being down in Tampa for the Falcons game. Talking to some Gator fans, that's who they want. You know, the guys who are done with Coach Napier and they're not worried about whatever he does, wins or losses, they want to go get the Indiana coach, Kurt Cignetti. Right? I said Clint. Kurt, so I put an eye on it. But Kurt Cignetti was the one who went from James Madison to Indiana when College Game Day was there. It was kind of fun. He's like, hey, I win. It's what I do. We mentioned the dogs, the cocktail party. By now, most of you know UGA in Florida at the Benz in 2026. And then Raymond James was just at the game. And that's a perfect venue where the Bucks play to have it when they're still working on Everbank Stadium in 2027.
Yeah, exciting times, man, to be here and have that game. I know Kirby wants it on campus, but that's a cool thing. Hey, coming up, you will hear from our quarterback. Kirk Cousins stopped by today to talk to Mike and I about a variety of things, including family and what he said to this team.